with you today. If you would like to turn and read with me, I'm going to ask you to turn to the 14th chapter of Paul's epistle to the Romans. Romans chapter 14. And I want to read just a few verses, beginning with verse 10. Romans 14, verse 10. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. And that will be my scripture reading that I want to begin with today. Now, the Apostle Paul made some very emphatic, some very direct statements here. He really made some statements in this that really there's no reason to wonder about what he said. I mean, he just made it so plain. It really can't be disputed. He just said this very plainly, and he did this in other epistles as well, and perhaps I'll share that also. But he just said very plainly that every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Every one of us, that we will answer to the Lord. He also said that we would all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And that's where we will give account of ourselves to God. And that's who we will give account to. And so, two statements that he made here, very matter-of-factly, very plain pointed statements. We will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and every one of us shall give account of himself to God. I'd like to speak today about what the Scriptures have to say to us concerning the day of judgment. There is a day of judgment that's going to come. I'm persuaded to believe that more and more that the way people spend their time and the way people live their lives on earth and some of the hideous things that people do, I'm persuaded to believe more and more all the time that there must be fewer people that believe that they will have to answer to God one day for the life that they've lived. But whether they believe it or not, it's going to come to pass. We are all God's creation. He has created every one of us. And we are going to, God has given us life. If God had not given you life, I assure you, you wouldn't be here. Because the Bible says that it is in Him that we live and move and have our being. And so God has given to us our life. He has given to us however long that it is. He has given to us and will give to us the amount of time that we will spend here on the earth. And we're all one day going to give account unto God for how that we have spent that time and the things that we have done in this life. This is a day that the Bible talks about, that it will be a day when all people will be gathered before Him. If you could even, and I'm not sure that we really can grasp that with our weak minds, but if you could just think about that and imagine a day that is coming when everybody that has ever lived on the earth. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe that the current population of earth is somewhere around 7 billion people right now. But of all the people that are living presently and all the people that have lived in the past and all the people that may perhaps yet be born into the world and live before God brings an end to time, you know, I have no way to assess that. I have no way to take a census. I have no way to even begin to guess how many people that really will be. I mean, when you figure that the earth has been going on for about 6,000 years now, and all the people that have been born and all the people that just live today, to think about all the people that ever occupied the earth, it has to be a huge number, doesn't it? But the Bible tells us that the day of judgment will be a day when God will gather every person that has ever lived together. And there we will all stand before his judgment seat, and we will all account to him for the things that we have done. Now, whether or not you can imagine that in your mind, yet the truth remains, it will happen. But the Bible tells us that it will. It's a day that God has appointed. In the 17th chapter of Acts, in the sermon that the Apostle Paul preached there in Athens, the sermon there at Mars Hill, he spoke about this fact, that this is a day that God has appointed. In Acts chapter 17, verse 31, he said, "Because he," that being God, "because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained." And that was making reference to Jesus. So God has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. And so God has already set this. God has already appointed this. God has appointed a day of judgment. And there won't be anybody of the human race that will not appear. Now, there are things that, you know, this week we have been here in our revival services, and you have had the choice. Everybody has had the choice from night to night whether to come here to assemble, or whether to stay home or do whatever. You know, you have had that choice. But listen, this is a day that is going to leave us without choice. We will all appear. We will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we will account to God for everything that we have done. That's Bible. That's Bible. It cannot be disputed. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, Paul made this statement in his writing to the Corinthians. He made it just as plain to them as he did when he wrote this to the Romans. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, the Apostle Paul said, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." And so the Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the Romans, the Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the Corinthians, he had not changed his views on this, not one bit. He wrote to the Romans and he said, "We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." He wrote to the Corinthians and said, "We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." He said, "When we appear before him, we must give an account unto him of the things that we have done. You know, sometimes, and when I was studying about this and thinking about what the scriptures say, I thought about, I wonder how many people have passed through the scenes of their life. I wonder how many people there have been that perhaps committed a crime against someone else. You know, perhaps they, in some way, perhaps that person broke the law during their lifetime. And maybe they were so sneaky and maybe they were able to conceal that so well that they may have been laying on their deathbed. They may have just moments before they passed away, they may have said, well, you know, nobody ever found out what I did there 20 years ago or 40 years ago, whatever. I got away with it. Nobody ever was aware of the crime that I committed. But I'm going to tell you something. There was. God knew all about it. And we're not told in the scriptures that we're going to have to stand before each other one day and give account to ourselves. But we are told that we're going to all have to stand before God and give an account unto Him of the things that we have done in this body. In this body, I mean, that tells us that He's talking about this life, the things that we have done in this body, whether they're good or bad. And so, you know, all the things that people think that they have got away with, all the things that people believe that nobody else is aware of, I'm telling you, the all-seeing eye of God beholds it all. God has known your entire life. Do you know that? God is aware of everything that you have done in your life. You know, if the Lord wanted to right now, He could tell you how many times since I was born into the world a little over 60 years ago, God could tell you how many times that I have breathed since I've lived in the world. The Bible tells us even the very hairs of our head are numbered. Now, I've got less hair than what I used to, but you know, every one of them I've lost, the Lord knew about that too, didn't He? Even the very hairs of our head are numbered. That's how detailed that God is. That's how much in detail that He knows us, that He knows everything about us. Brother Forshee mentioned this morning that there's a record. I believe there is. God keeps a record. I believe He does. But you know what? The Lord, and there are some things that we're told in the scriptures that I'm going to share with you, but I believe that a lot of the things that that we read, we don't have to take them literally. I believe they're symbolic, because in order for God to keep track, in order for God to keep record of everything that we do, He doesn't have to write it down. He doesn't literally have to write it down in a book. He just knows. He's able to retain that type of knowledge. I want you to think about something that we find spoken in the 139th Psalm. David realized this. I mean, he obviously realized what I am talking about today. David in the 139th Psalm, and I'm not going to go through and read that, but I'm going to just highlight before you what it was that David said there concerning God's knowledge of his life. David said, "The Lord knows when I sit down, and He knows when I stand up. He knows the words that I'm going to speak before they have ever even touched my tongue. Before they are ever there, God knows the words that I'm going to speak. God knows our thoughts." David said that God knows our thoughts when they're yet still far off. When we haven't even had the thought yet, God already knows what the thought is. David said in that psalm, He is acquainted He's acquainted with all my ways. Now, you know what? The fact that God knows all about us, that can be good, but that can also be unnerving too, can't it? Certainly it's a good thought to us that, you know, if we're doing something that's right, if we're doing something good, certainly it perhaps would be a comfort to us that God would be aware of that. But when we're doing something that is not good, when we're doing something that we wish that perhaps nobody else did know about, then we have to know that God knows that as well. If He knows every word that we're going to speak before we ever speak them, He knows if it's a good word or if it's a bad word, don't He? If He knows every thought, if our thoughts before we ever think them, if God knows our thoughts while they're still afar off, then certainly He knows whether it's a good thought or whether it's an evil thought. He beholds all of it. That's what David was saying. God knows everything about me. You know, if you decided to just skip the revival services this week without good reason, the Lord knows that. Sure He does. You're not hiding anything from Him. If you have the responsibility of children, if you're a Christian parent and you ought to have your lost children in church and you don't do it, yes, He knows about that as well. God knows about it. He sure does. He knows everything about us. I want you to think how detailed. I want you to think to what great extent that the Bible teaches us that we will be judged. We think sometimes we do things and we just think it don't matter, don't we? We just think, well, that's not a big deal. That really doesn't matter. You know, sometimes we do things, friends, in our Christian life that we just think, well, that's no big deal. Who cares? It's no big deal if I do that. But listen, if we're going to decide whether or not something is a big deal, we ought to be using the right standard. We ought to be using the Word of God. We ought to decide whether or not it's a big deal to God, not just a big deal to somebody, to some other human. What does the Lord think about it? What does His Word say about it? And this is what Jesus said, and this is recorded in the 12th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus said, I say unto you that for every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account in the day of judgment. Every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. There's coming a day when we will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Brother Forshee spoke about preparation. Brother Forshee spoke last night about death, about preparation for death. There are people that prepare for death in many ways and leave off the most important way. There are people that prepare, for death. They prepare their will. They make sure they have enough life insurance to take care of any expenses that might be incurred after they're gone. They make preparations for what may happen to their material belongings when they have left this world, and yet they fail to make the most important preparation to die, and that is the preparation of their soul. To seek the Lord, be saved, that you'll know it's well with your soul, that it'll be well when you die and leave this world. You know, we wonder sometimes, when you think about these things, I know I do, We wonder sometimes preachers perhaps preaching about things like the message we heard last night about the fact that people are going to die, when we hear about the fact that God's Word has told us plainly in many different places that we're going to all stand before God one day. And let me assure you, my lost friend today, you don't want to stand before God and give account to yourself without the blood of Christ to cover you. I promise you that that's something that you don't want. You don't want to stand before God without having the Lord Jesus Christ to plead your case. You don't want that. You don't want that. Because you're going to suffer the eternal wrath of God if you stand before Him unprepared. But we wonder sometimes why that these things don't seem to affect lost people to the extent that they should. I remember a time in my life, and some this week have testified about things gone by. Brother Forshee has spoken some this week about things that he remembers from the past. And certainly I remember a time when I was lost, when I was a teenager. I remember a time when it seems like to me that there was more concern among lost people about the condition of their soul, about where they were going to spend eternity. And sometimes we may, as God's people, we may wonder why these things don't affect them the way that it seems they should. Why do these sermons about dying without God and the judgment and, hell and these things affect lost souls the way that they should? But, you know, sometimes I really begin to wonder why they don't have the effect upon the saved that they ought to have. Because, listen, I don't only remember that time when the preacher would get up and preach about the coming of the Lord and how that Jesus was going to return in great power, and He was going to gather all the nations before Him, and He was going to judge them. It didn't only tear up the lost, it tore up the people of God as well. I mean, it caused them to be greatly concerned about those who are lost. And listen, I'm afraid that the Word of God doesn't have the effect on us that it ought to have. Certainly, listen, this morning, we ought to be greatly concerned. We ought to be greatly burdened that there are people that are lost. They're separated from God. Listen, if death overtakes them right now, hell's going to be their home, and that ought to greatly concern us, and it ought to motivate us to reach out to them with compassion, with love. I know God's got to save them. I know that it's between them and God, but I can tell you from my own experience that there were people in my life, I mean, when they really got concerned about my soul, they were able to say things to me that had a great impact, that had a great influence upon me. The Lord's coming. I'm telling you, He's coming. There's, I believe that today that the world is going about its way, and they're not giving much thought to it. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. He said they were eating and drinking, they were marrying, and they were giving in marriage. In fact, they were really not paying much attention at all to what they were being told. They were not paying much attention at all to what the building of that ark was all about. They were going about their everyday life, not really thinking much about it. they were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were given in marriage. And I believe that's exactly what's going on in the world today. There's people that are going about their day and they're not thinking much about it. Listen, it's obvious to me. I believe it's made obvious by the actions of people, but it's obvious today that there are even people that are children of God and are members of the church that believe that the worldly things are more important than revival meetings. Their actions speak it. Their actions testify that there's things out there in the world that I want to do that are more important than me being in the house of God. God's seeing it all, friends. He's seeing it all. He knows everything that we do. The Lord is coming. In 2 Peter chapter 3, the Bible tells us in verse 9 that the Lord's not slack concerning His promise. That's talking about the promise that He made that He would come again. The Lord's not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But you look at the next few words in that next verse, in the 10th verse, and it says, but the day of the Lord will come. He's going to come. And when He does, what we find in the 25th chapter of Matthew is going to be brought to pass. The Bible says the Son of Man is going to come in His glory, and He's going to come with the holy angels, and He's going to sit on the throne of His glory, and He's going to gather before Him all nations. I'm telling you, everybody that's ever lived, of every nation, of every color, of every tongue, of every culture, that's going to be a day when we will all be brought together before the judgment seat of Christ. He's going to gather all nations before Him. And the Bible says that He's going to separate them. He's going to divide them one from another, just like a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. He's going to take those that are lost. He's going to take those that are not His sheep. He's going to place them on the left hand. He's going to take the sheep. He's going to take His redeemed, and He's going to place them on the right hand. And He's going to say unto them, come ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. But that's not all that He's going to say. He's going to say unto those on the left, depart from Me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Sometimes I wonder, I really do. I'm glad it's not this way with everybody, but sometimes I'm forced to wonder if there are not even Christian parents who have forgotten that if their lost kids die without the Lord, they're going to go to hell. They're going to suffer eternal torments. I wonder about that, because we see where people that have children that are lost don't seem to see the importance oftentimes of exposing them to the Word of God. I wonder if they've completely forgot about the fact that there's a great day of judgment that God has appointed. Have they forgot about the fact that their children are just a breath away from eternal damnation? Well, that's what their actions would say, isn't it? You know what? You may not like that, but I'm going to tell you something. The truth hasn't always been popular, but it has always been the truth. Actions speak louder than words. And the Lord's coming. He's coming. Listen, I want you to know if you're here today and you're lost, that the time you have, the opportunity you have to get saved is limited. It's limited. I wonder today, honestly, I'm just going to follow the Lord today. How about that? I wonder today if some of us haven't already. We're dealing with eternal matters here today. We're dealing with eternal souls. I wonder if some of us haven't already even begun to let the devil plant in our mind the thought that the service is beginning to linger a little bit. We've been here a little while already. Listen, I'm telling you, we need to get down to business, don't we? We need to think about the matter that's truly at hand, that there's a great day coming. God has appointed the day when He's going to bring it to fruition, when He's going to bring it to pass. None of us know, but I know this, that if the Lord splits the sky today and makes His return, if you're lost today, you're going to be lost for eternity. You'll be lost forever. There won't be any more opportunities. The Bible tells us this, in the 20th chapter of the Revelation. John saw this. God showed him this. He said, I'm going to turn and read it. Revelation chapter 20. I don't want to miss a word of it. And I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. I'll tell you what, God has set a high standard. He has. Because the standard by which He's going to judge us is His word. It's His word. They were judged according to the things that were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Listen, lost soul, you better be serious with God about this. Because it won't make any difference how many church services you may have attended. It won't make any difference what you may have done in your life. If your name, when that book of life is open, if your name is not in the book, you're going to hell. You're going to be cast into the lake of fire, and you're going to suffer the eternal torments of that place forever and forever. And you're not going to be able to say, well, listen, though, one time I went to a revival meeting, or I heard a lot of preachers preach. Listen, if your name is not recorded, you're going to hell. That's how plain the Bible makes it. You better seek the Lord and find Him. You better seek Him with all your heart and find Him. I'm persuaded, as sad as it is, I'm persuaded that there will be many who throughout the years of their life sat under preaching of God's truth. They sat in revival meetings. They were around a lot of good, God-fearing people. But you know what? That won't save them. You've got to seek God with all your heart until you know that you've been saved. And that's the only way that you're going to be safe in the day of God's righteous judgment. We're going to account, folks. God's keeping a record. Think you're getting away with things, you're not. We're going to give account unto God for the things that we do in this body, whether they're good or bad. And the most crucial thing is you don't want to stand before the Lord without a covering for your sin. Only the blood of Christ applied to your heart can protect you. I'd like for us to have a song. I'd like for us to consider the situation. I'd like for us to follow the Lord today, do what He would have us to do.